episode of Bobbles After Dark.
Get right up on that microphone.
Get right up on it.
Yeah, don't be scared.
Yeah.
Is it on?
It won't bite.
Can you hear me?
It is. I can hear you.
Great. Just checking. Well, we are here for an exciting, exciting, fun-filled 45 to an hour. And as usual, we have a very special guest in the studio.
Some would say the backbone of Bobble the Lace.
I would say the wishbone.
The wishbone. Okay.
I mean,
some kind of bone.
Yeah.
There's a bone in there.
There's a bone in there. But truly, Bobbles and Lace could not be what Bobbles and Lace is today without the assistance, the help, and the drive of Derek Rando. And I say this daily to Mrs. Rando. But we are so, so, so excited to welcome Derek Rando. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you guys very much for having me.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
Are you able to talk through those brand new teeth you got there?
So we got some new chompers today.
They look great.
We did a little bonding. I feel like Mr. Ed still, but I think I can talk.
Yeah, you're doing good.
Yeah, it looks
good.
Gonna
be okay.
I wouldn't have noticed unless Lindsay told me.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
I'm not telling anyone.
Is it going to change?
Well, not really.
No, exactly. Is it going to change your singing?
Oh, is it going to change your singing?
We might find out.
Does it change your whistling? Can
I haven't tried that yet.
Try.
Can you try? Oh, okay. Then we're good to go.
That's all we need to do. You could just whistle through life.
That's one way to get through.
Yeah. Well, we do today have a focus of today's episode, which we will share in a minute. But
yes. First,
we wanted to hear a little bit about Mr. Rando and his experience with Bobbles and Lace, because you've truly seen it since its inception from selling jewelry on the streets of LA. So tell me your craziest Bobbles story. Like, what's your craziest Bobbles memory?
Yeah. You've seen some shit.
So many. I mean, from the beginning, like, wife, you got another ticket from having your push cart on the road where you're not allowed to in downtown Los Angeles.
Remember the Rose Bowl, how cold it was?
The Rose Bowl.
Tell me about the Rose Bowl.
So when she was still doing the push cart and we were setting up like mobily in the Los Angeles area, we were literally, so the Rose Bowl, I guess it's like a desert-ish. Like,
it's a football game, correct?
In the way, I'm not the guy.
So you have a bowl in like in sports?
Maybe.
Well, we're in California. We're in Southern California, Los Angeles area. So I'm thinking, okay, like, you know, how cold can it get? But for some reason, it was well below freezing in the morning.
What?
We were absolutely frigid. And then we had like, what, like 90 degree weather.
Yeah.
It was just, but we were freezing setting up. Like, we couldn't even warm up in the car. It was so cold.
No, we had to take shifts in the car, warming up our hands and feet. It was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember we fit all that into the Jetta? We fit the whole operation of a store into the Jetta and we drive it around. Do you remember?
What color was the Jetta?
Black.
Of course.
Yeah.
Duh.
Towed a U-Haul all the way across the country.
Wow.
From here to there.
So when you made the decision to move back home, because you're from Maynard, you're from Beverly, were you disappointed to leave California or were you ready?
I wasn't quite ready. I had some stuff going on with, you know, some talented people doing the recording and everything. And I do the music stuff. And I wanted to stay a little bit longer, but it was time to get back.
I talked him into it.
She's very persuasive.
Yes, she is.
Look at her.
Yes, she is.
But life's not so bad. It's not so bad. But truly, Bobbles wouldn't be here without the support of you. Truly, truly, you are a piece of the story, a piece of the puzzle. And I could never do what I do without you. You know that.
And I want everybody to know that as well. So everybody thinks that, you know, Lindsay does everything. But I would say percentage-wise, she probably does 98%, I have to say. And definitely I have like 2%.
True, but you do keep me alive.
There's that. I do feed you in the kids. Yeah.
Vital to the operation.
Vital.
Was there ever a moment in the 18 years now that you doubted it?
Doubted what?
Doubted the whole Bobbles thing. Has she ever done something so crazy? You were like, Lindsay, what are you doing?
I've always trusted you in everything you've ever done.
Thank you. Definitely not.
I trust her every move.
Thank you.
I think that's
couple
that.
Goals. Even when she wears red tights and a red sweater and red shoes.
Outfits aside, but you know what? She knows. I wouldn't know. She knows.
I will say to all the men listening, let's please, please, please keep the fashion advice to the minimum. If anything, we don't dress for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, guys, we don't know.
It's true. We don't dress for men. We dress for other women.
Yeah, I come down and I go, Dee, what do you think? And he looks at me and he'll say, it's not my favorite. And I think that's how you say it. So thank you. Thank you. You don't have to.
The soft letdown.
It's fine. I don't care.
Listen, you do you.
I do you. What's my favorite look? What's your favorite?
You've changed over the years. I don't know. There was the clown suit shoulders at one point.
Yeah.
You love a business suit.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you love on Lindsay?
Short and tight.
As long as I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm the jealous type.
I love it. Short and tight. He likes to see the stems. So today's real episode, we wanted to talk about bad behavior. Derek was a perfect person to bring into this because he's kind of bad, but in the best way possible. I like a bad boy.
Yeah.
I'm not the best.
You are the best.
You're the best, but you're naughty.
Are you going to finish that?
he's a little naughty. I like naughty. So thinking back to bad behavior. Now, we used to work in the restaurant industry years ago, and I know that you, Dee, have a doozy. This has to do with pubic hair. The people want to know.
He's gagging. He's already gagging.
No, I'm not gagging.
He's right. He puked himself.
How to phrase it? Nothing really shocks me. So like this doesn't stick like jar in my memory or anything. But come to think of it, I guess it's probably one of the craziest things that's ever happened to me. So I was a bartender at a restaurant. This was actually a really nice white tablecloth restaurant in downtown Los Angeles. And a gentleman came in, ordered 3 martinis, and I'm like, okay.
Weren't they apple martinis too?
They were apple martinis.
I should have
they
were,
they were bright green. So there's something wrong with this guy to begin with.
For sure.
And he had like a really bizarre suit on, like a costume. And I'm like, all right, martini after martini. And it's probably 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So like, I knew something was off, but I didn't know where it was going. And it really wasn't there was no reason to throw him out.
I feel like do people bare their soul to you as a bartender?
I get a lot of that everywhere I go.
People do that everywhere.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
People love to find you, the crazier the better, and they love to tell you their life story. You attract them.
I can tell you a lot of stories. But anyway, so this gentleman, after 3 martinis, I'm like, what's next? He orders some food, and probably within 2 minutes of the food arriving, he's yelling and he calls me over.
Wasn't it a creamy pasta dish just for the visual?
And you know what? I think you're right about that.
Where are we? Okay, hold on. So we're jumping ahead here. Okay. So he gets his martinis.
Yeah.
He's had 3 martinis.
That's a lot.
3 apple martinis. It is a lot. There was a mission here. He had a trajectory and he hit that.
Okay.
Then he orders a little pasta dish and calls me over up in arms about the hair in his pasta. I'm going, oh jeez, what happened here? It's completely covered in pubic hair. Not like a hair or two. It was like that was not even a side, like that was like the main
That was the main dish.
That was part of the dish. Like the main part of the dish was pubic hair. And at the moment I was so stunned, I didn't know what to think. And I went back to the kitchen. I'm like, guys, are you guys fucking around back here? Like, are you did you think this was like my lunch? Like, are you guys messing with me? I didn't know what it was. And I mean, he was yelling, he was mad. And basically, right, you get it as we're telling the story that he wanted 3 martinis and he wanted out of there without a bill.
Okay. So right. He put his own pubes on his own.
So he yes. must have brought yes. them in like a baggie or something hey. And put them on there.
Yeah.
To get as to skip garbage. A bill. I mean, you gotta give it to him as far.
California thing. Would do that. Like, I think California people are that fucked.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know. Do you think he had a nice white tablecloth yes. establishment?
Do you think he just reached down in his pants?
I don't think that's like a typical thing that people in California would do. I think we're dealing with like the homeless population that's a little unhinged in this particular scenario. Right? It's not like your average guy out for lunch break that works downtown.
Right. It's not a banker.
No, but you know what? Maybe.
Or a Californian.
Maybe he did work downtown at that Skid Row office we saw one day. Right? Maybe that was him. So we
should. Should we get into this?
Yeah.
I want to hear this.
So we lived a block or two from Skid Row. Now it's actually an extremely sad place right. to drive by.
Right.
The tent camps.
So yeah. Listen, we're not. Don't cancel us for this one.
Right.
But we do have a great story about the office.
Why are we canceled?
I don't know. We're not.
You're more likely to be canceled for saying that all Californians might put pubes in a pasta dish.
Right? It's like all. I just said it feels very California.
Fair.
Just sounds, so, I don't know.
Fair. One day, I think we had friends in town and we were going back to our place. We're taking we're going back to our place, which was a few blocks over from Skid Row. And in the middle of the tent encampments, there's literally an oriental rug down with a desk, and there's like a computer and
office
file
chair.
Cabinet. There's a full office set up between the tent. But there's definitely, like, there's no power, there's no electricity, there's no wires going. This computer is not plugged in. We're driving by, and somebody had a
working away.
That's the best thing ever.
Work going to office do that every day. He probably gets up, goes to his office.
And he has a great view.
Works the day.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you guys. Like when I'm not feeling well, if I'm like anxious and I need to ground myself, like I do like to bury myself in my work a bit. Mm. That makes me so maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe that had something to do with it.
Yeah, I like it.
I love it. I love that level of delusion. But they're now a professional. That's great.
I have that level of delusion where I feel like I'm professional hunting and pecking on my keyboard. Yeah.
There's no difference between me and him.
Nope.
What I do every day. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
Exactly.
So.
Or so canceled.
Oh, God. But so how many times have you heard me say, oh, my God, I should write a book on this shit?
Oh,
I should write a book
every day.
What is the craziest story you have about working in this crazy business?
I feel like I have so many.
So many.
But the first comes to mind, like when I first started working, this is where Derek really comes in handy. I first started working at Bobbles and I was in one of our stores and this couple came in. They felt very California, maybe from Skid Row. They came in and I was alone in the store. And so I immediately pinged Lindsay and Derek. I'm like, hey, just like keep your eyes on the camera. A couple people came in. And I know Derek sprung into action right away.
Oh, he loves the action.
And they were just like, they just 100% were not in their right frame of mind. So I know in the background, Derek is calling the police for me. And the man ends up going in the fitting room and trying on one of our flannel shirts. And I'm just so weirded out by it. Luckily, in Newburyport, the fitting rooms are like in a back corner. So I stay on the main floor near the door while he's trying on clothing. Kind of weird. They have beach chairs on their back. It was just very odd. And then I'm looking out the window because we're in Newburyport. There's really no crime. So I'm like, wow, it's been 20 minutes. Where are the police? Like,
they have so much to do.
Right. Like, this is a
sleepy little town. Did I fall asleep?
No, but then I look outside and the police officer's trying to parallel park. And it took me 3 tries. I'm like, hello? Like, he has a wallet and it's actually an Altoids case. And he opens it up.
Not the police officer.
This man who he ended up buying the flannel. I had to charge 3 different debit cards. But I'm like, if I'm going to be uncomfortable, I'm at least going to make a sale.
Oh, yeah.
That's what makes me such a good employee. And then eventually.
That's why you're still here.
Yep. Eventually, 35 minutes later, the police officer finally waltzes in. Yeah. And ask them a few questions and let them leave. But that was a weird one.
That was a weird one. We've called the police a ton.
Yeah, tell the Marblehead story.
Oh, gosh.
Which one?
The steel. Oh, there's been plenty.
There's been a million. We've had, I think, you would think that a lot of the theft happens on a Newbury Street location, mm-hmm. city store. And listen, we've had people steal the whole mannequin before and just walk off with it. We've had someone walk into the Boston store and just scoop up a whole rack of clothing and walk out. Like the whole front rack. Yeah. They took it and walked out.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? Okay.
Not going to chase you. You smell.
I mean, if I was there, I would. But
you would. All right.
That's not doing it. But we actually have a lot of theft. We have had a lot of theft, even in our smaller communities of like Marblehead. So we actually had someone arrested in our store because they were a repeat thief.
Yeah. We watched the whole thing on The Nest.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. So when she did come back another time, we recognized her, let the police know. We said, we have another thief. She's back.
Thief.
She's back. She came back. So they send down an officer in plain clothes, which is like the best thing ever. So we're on camera.
Two.
Yeah, the two of them. Yeah. So we're on camera watching the whole thing on The Nest. Yeah.
I was on my way down. I remember I was down.
Of course.
Derek was thrilled. So now he's loving. He's Derek's SWAT team.
Yeah.
And the plainclothes officer and us on The Nest watch her take another item and put it in her bag right in front of the officer. So of course they cuffed her and took her.
Yeah.
So when I was pulling up, she was being put into the car, crying in handcuffs, and her car was parked illegally. She was like talking about her car, and it was like, yeah, nope, that's getting towed. Don't worry, it's not gonna stay here.
Just don't steal.
Just don't steal.
It's not that hard. Just don't steal.
No.
You know?
No. Just don't do it.
I find that a lot of the people that steal often buy something as well, which is confusing.
It's always an older woman. It's older. Like, I don't see that many teenagers steal. I see women in their 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Me, personally, that's what I've seen.
Every time I play in the stores, I see teens that are sketchy. For me, it's the rings, right? I see the rings go on, and they walk around, and they look down, and they look around.
So Derek's mom used to work.
She was my stylist.
She worked in the Andover store, and she is dead.
Cindy Rando.
How do you describe your mom to someone that doesn't know her?
I don't know. She's my mom, so yeah, I can't remember.
She's a tough.
Like you should.
She's a tough cookie.
She's a tough cookie.
But she looks like she's pretty. She's tall.
She's stylish. She's beautiful. Yeah. She's outgoing. Yeah. But like, I'm not gonna fuck with her.
But to a young girl, would you be terrified of her?
I wasn't. I loved her. She felt like my mom. Mm. But, like, I wouldn't fuck with her. Am I going to steal in front of Cindy Rando? Never.
No, would you fuck with your mom?
But you would, but unless you knew her, she's not assuming looking at all.
No, she's not scary looking.
So that's why some of the stories that are probably about to happen are happen, because they wouldn't think, you know, she's not assuming, they wouldn't think that she's someone to, you know, to beware of, as they're like, oh, I'm going to go about my business stealing shit. My mom's not having that.
No. Most people just call the cops, but not Cindy Rando.
So this, what, you want me to tell this
story? Yeah, you tell.
Of course, I'm not there, but I know this is hearsay from my mother on the phone right after it happens. Some girl tried to steal something again. We're tired of it. And my mom catches it. Instead of saying something to her, she walks right to the front of the store and locks the door. And the girl's eyes go,
so we're locked in together.
I love it.
And the girl's like, excuse me. My mom goes, you're not going anywhere.
Wait, I'm sweating having you talk about it. I'm nervous talking about it.
So I don't, some of the details are a little washy for me. I know that like she made, you know, like she fished it out of the bag, what it was. And
she said, I'm a teacher. Your mom said, not anymore.
No. She said she had been admitted to law school. She was going to be a lawyer. She's like, please, I'm going to law school. I'm going to be a lawyer. My mother says, not anymore.
Jesus. That's
still. Now you're going to be I forget.
Have you guys ever stolen?
Of course.
You have?
Of course.
What'd you steal?
I used to steal Forever 21 all the time.
You did?
So easy.
Wow.
The jewelry.
Did you ever get caught?
No.
Did mom ever catch you?
No, but then one Christmas she was wearing a pair of my earrings and we were at like a friend's house and everyone was complimenting her earrings. She was like, oh, thanks. And I go, I stole them from Forever 21. My mom's like, I'm wearing hot earrings on Jesus' birthday. I'm like, yes,
funny.
That's so funny.
That's pretty much it.
Oh God.
Derek has stolen, correct?
Nope.
He's lying.
You're such a good person.
Never.
He's lying.
Not even a snack.
I've stolen a lot. But I have to say, I was a different person then, and no, I'm just fucking kidding. But
what's your worst thievery story?
I look at it differently, as, you know, being someone in business and, you know, understanding, you know, that it's someone's livelihood. And as a kid, when I used to steal a candy bar or whatever, I didn't have the bandwidth to think of it as that it was someone's livelihood. And now when I see the, like the high school kids that steal from the local convenience store and the family that owns it and they're watching and the police are no help and like there's 50 kids in there at a time robbing them blind, and it actually breaks my heart, because it's someone's livelihood, and you know, we make mistakes when we're kids, but that's no way to live.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I like to call the parents when I when getting young people steal. Yeah. It's worse.
I disagree. I'd say put the screws to them. Get the cops involved. Guess what? Marblehead High is the end of your education.
Do you remember in Wellesley? So we had a woman. We had our Wellesley location, and she tried to return a dress beyond the return policy. And people, this is like,
we get abused over this.
Abused by staff is abused for us having a policy and standing by it. But we'll save that for a different time. So Wellesley. Woman came in, it was well past the return policy. She said, okay, no problem, goes in the fitting room and proceeds to do her own exchange. So she left the dress on the hanger and took a different one. But the funny part is, the one that she exchanged, she had hemmed the bottom herself. So what was a maxi dress is now a mini, as if we wouldn't notice that A, you tried to return it, and B, you hemmed it. So we contact the woman.
Love that.
Yeah. We say, hey, listen, can we have the dress back that you exchanged yourself?
Yes.
She then sends us a really long email. She is a lawyer.
Oh, okay, great.
And now she's mad because we're falsely accusing her of stealing.
I remember this.
Do you remember this story? And then I told her we had video footage of her going into the fitting room with the dress. Of course, we don't film inside the fitting rooms.
No.
But coming out of the fitting room, no dress.
Mm-hmm.
Once she heard that, we got an anonymous package to us. Anonymous package. Say, hi, I'm a student, and I stole this.
Your kid. She made a fake story.
She made a fake person returning the dress, and I stole this. I'm in high school, and I stole this, and I'm just returning it anonymously.
So what we're learning on this podcast is that attorneys steal things.
People are
nuts. We had a law student and a lawyer.
And when you lie, you gotta keep lying to keep up with that lie. And like I said before, it's no way to live.
No.
It's no way to live.
It's no way to live. Yeah, that return policy, man,
that's a really tough one.
We get abused over that return policy.
Yeah. I have people scream at me on the phone over it all the time. Scream. It's like, I'm a person.
Yeah.
And I can hold my ground at the time, but then the energy of it, I end up crying after.
Some guy threw a hanger at one of my employees.
Really?
Of course it's Marblehead. Another common theme we have, and I'm sorry that you happen to be the token male on this podcast today, is revolting men. We have some revolting male stories. We had a caller that would call around to all of our stores for a while.
Yes. I tell that story.
He was the phantom caller, and he'd call, and he'd say, hey, do you guys carry shorts? And we'd say, yeah. We do. I do carry shorts. We have denim shorts. They're cut offs. Goes, how do they fit? And I said, well, they fit really, really
like
well.
Like
shorts. He goes, are they tight? Yeah, they're pretty tight. And then you hear, like, how repulsive.
It's gross.
Can you be?
So then they ask us about bodysuits and if we'll take a picture and send it to them.
Yeah. So they live chat Kelsey all the time. Can you take a picture?
Yeah, just so you ever know, the live chat's a person. Kelsey.
Derek's mouth is on the floor. Do you not know this?
I know about the phone call about the
calls.
I've actually had one.
Plural.
I've had a creeper call.
Remember
before
when you were raped in the morning on the phone?
I was gonna say.
Oh my god!
From a band posting that I did.
That's the best story. Okay, so what we're learning is creeping can happen to anyone. You've got to tell your story.
Yeah,
that's the best ever.
I forgot about this.
Me too.
This triggered my memory.
Yeah, so my name is Derek Rando. I'm a musician. You can find me on all the music outlets. And my band is Tenderhoof. Anyway, I was trying to build this band that was yet to exist, Tenderhoof. And I had a Craigslist posting for certain band members. I forget what piece I was looking for. And I get a call.
The drums.
Yeah,
I think this guy was a drummer.
And this, well, I don't think he was a drummer at all.
Okay.
Like, in the end. But so this was a really, really early call. It was like, I think it was a weekend, and it was like a 6 a.m. call. I think
early,
I had it, and I gave the night before. I was like out of it, hungover, and I didn't answer. I wasn't even going to answer because I was so tired. But like, I better take it, you know, da da da. And the guy's asking me all these, I don't remember, but all these intricate questions about what I was looking for, and the tone in his voice, I didn't put it together at the time, was like very seductive. He was definitely working towards something. He was working his way up, and I didn't.
You were too tired. Because it was Saturday morning at 7 a.m.
It was definitely earlier than that.
He liked that bedroom voice.
Yeah.
Tired voice made it even better for him.
And he got me. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. That was an unbelievable story.
I think he finished and I was on the phone and I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
What just happened?
Yeah. Well, crisis. Welcome. You know what it feels like to be a woman is being violated in a regular scenario.
Yeah, but it's never cool, and I feel like there are guys out there that. There's plenty of us that don't stand for that shit.
Yeah, I know.
That's
yeah.
true.
Bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Bad behavior.
Bad behavior.
What was the guy in Portland who would bring the crystals to the girls?
I think that was Marblehead, I think.
No. And there was a guy in Portland. What did he want?
I don't know.
You sure they weren't bath salts? Were they crystals?
Oh, he wanted the girls to go escort him to a game.
Is that right? Oh, they did. I don't remember. We'll have to ask Mackenzie when she comes on.
Okay.
I don't remember that.
I mean, are we talking floor seats or?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
right?
Floor seats with selfies.
We had an employee. This podcast is taking a wild turn.
I like it.
But she was a huge Bruins fan.
This one.
Bruins. Okay.
Like huge.
Female Bruins fans are so interesting to me.
Interesting shit.
I'm not judging.
No.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
They're a different kind of woman.
We all love something.
They play softball.
Yes, exactly.
She loved the Bruins. So she happens to find someone who would trade floor seats for her used underwear.
You're kidding.
No. So, but who is truly the violator here?
Or I don't know that. I mean, in
an
equal exchange,
is it so wrong?
No. I support her. That's a businesswoman.
I support.
It's a
yeah.
business, right?
That's a businesswoman.
It's a transaction.
She's wearing them anyway.
It's
correct.
A transaction.
There's no extra work for her, and she has to be like on the ice.
Yeah.
And what's a pair of underwear cost? I don't know.
She can get a pack of Hanes at Walmart for $5.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would want mine.
No. Maybe the drummer.
Maybe the drummer.
I don't wear any.
Oh, there you go. So, I don't call that bad behavior on her part either.
No. We do have some employees that have had bad behavior in the past.
Oh, we do. We had an employee show up to work drunk once and continue to take a little nap in the back room on the floor.
I remember.
Remember that one?
I do.
What was it good though? Was that?
Oh,
this was the beginning stages.
In the beginning. This is 12 plus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not very, very beginning, but like I remember.
Close to
I remember.
The very beginning.
Yeah.
We had someone just leave midday.
Just like, I think I'm over it. Leave, close the door.
Yeah.
Done for the day.
Yeah. And then showed up for work the next day. Felt like nothing happened.
Wow.
Like, oh, you still work here?
In the same outfit.
Oh, in the same outfit.
Yeah, in the same outfit as the day before.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah.
That was really nice. We did have some unpaid employees in the Marblehead location, the old Marblehead store.
So we did. This
we're is talking all... about interns?
No, or... no, no. We're talking about Dark's furry friends. What you don't know about my husband is that he is Snow White and that animals, wherever he goes, the animals find him, follow him. So every morning he wakes up and he feeds all our three dogs. Then he goes outside and he feeds the squirrels. We have, they all have names, by the way. We have Ratchet, we have with Junior,
Rascals, eats out of my hand. Some of them eat out of my hand.
Yeah, that's his new homie.
Raised a bird or two.
Yeah.
Used to, you know, come fly out of the wild.
Make your blue jay call.
I don't really have a blue jay.
Yeah,
it's just, no, it's just a whistle.
What's your blue jay?
I don't think I can whistle through these teeth, these new teeth.
So he calls the blue jays and he throws the peanuts in the air and they catch them.
They catch them?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
So,
that's pretty wild.
So this man loves animals and animals love him. So we used to have an office in the back room and Derek would feed the squirrels off the back porch.
Okay.
Again, shelled peanuts.
They love shelled peanuts.
Unsalted.
Who does? I like them salted, but.
Yeah. Ugh. And then slowly they started coming to his hand inside. And then slowly they started living inside the building. So we'd come in the morning and there'd be, and this, they loved to eat the jeans. There'd be like holes in our
jeans.
They're covered in jeans. So now they started living in the walls. And then they started making appearances during the day, but on the sales floor. So I had a customer go, "Do you have a cat?" And I said, "Yes."
Yes. Yes.
Quick yes.
We have a few.
Yes, we do have a cat. He's kind of shy.
Small. Small cats.
Yeah. So we couldn't get rid of these squirrels. They literally overtook the building until it was condemned. So
then we moved to a new building.
Then we moved to a new building. Oops. Oopsies.
Now it's a bat face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. What, Derek, you deal with all of our landlords. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Without naming locations, do you have any terrible landlords or any terrible landlord
stories?
I have to say that currently with all of our corporate locations, I don't have any terrible landlords. All of them are wonderful. I'll flip that and say that in one of our locations that we've had for a long time, we've had older gentleman, a very old gentleman, and I'm not going to say locations or names, but he's been absolutely wonderful to us over the years, and he refuses to raise the rent, and anytime there's an issue, he comes down there himself. Like, he's got to be well into his 90s.
Yeah,
you know,
he has new hips. I've met him. He has new hips.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Even at that age?
He got his hip done last year.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
He pops in a couple times a week just to say hi.
He does.
Yeah.
Really cares about his community and his building, and it's lovely.
No, I think the toughest thing with landlords was during COVID, but how, you know, can you blame them? I mean, you know, that's their income, and everybody was screwed at that point. But no, I have to say that overall, everything's been pretty cool with the landlords. Nothing that couldn't be worked out, right?
Yeah, I mean, COVID was a very, very scary time when we had, you know, we thought it was just going to be a two-week hiatus, and then suddenly it wasn't just a two-week hiatus.
Yeah.
Then suddenly it was over a month in, we had no dollars coming in except for website sales, and we had, you know, seven rents to pay, 7 months of rent. It was a very scary time, but here we are. We worked it out with them, and they were all fantastic.
Yeah, there was only one landlord, I forget which one, that wasn't cool with the amortization of doing it over the year or the next year, just to make everybody whole. And it worked out for everybody. Everybody got, you know, paid what they were owed, and yeah.
That's great.
What a crazy time.
We gotta work together, people. We gotta work together.
What's the weirdest thing Lindsay's ever asked you to do for the stores?
God, I have something to say.
Mm.
So Derek has really done everything in the company because we started the company. Remember, we used to paint the tables black.
Yeah.
We buy them. We rent a U-Haul and we buy them from Salvation Army. We paint them black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We paint all the stores ourselves. That's not so weird.
Mm-hmm.
But we needed help getting our inventory and steaming it. So guess who is the inventory manager who steamed all of the clothing?
Really?
So did we have children yet?
Or no, was this before? No kids yet.
Was this still a from home job at that point?
Yeah.
So I think I was already doing the books at that point, but we only had a few locations, so that wasn't a very large endeavor. And I would literally, all the clothing was shipped to our condo in Salem, Massachusetts, and I would be
second floor, baby,
opening, unpacking, steaming, and prepping everything for deliveries. And at that point, I think I was doing deliveries too.
Yeah,
and
then delivering it. Yeah.
And I'm still to this day. I occasionally do. I did a delivery today to Boston.
You did.
I'm the trash man. I'm the accountant.
Yeah.
I'm the wifey slave.
The chef.
The chef.
Well, that's different. That's outside of work.
Yeah.
No, you cook. We had a director's dinner at the house.
Mm-hmm.
You cooked for us.
Mm-hmm.
You're the entertainment.
There's that.
You kind of take care of all the girls.
Mm. I love my girls.
I know Matt will say he's Daddy Bobbles, but you're the real Daddy Bobbles.
You are.
No, I mean,
of course.
I love Matt, but I was a little offended by the Daddy Bobbles. Only in the sense that, I mean, I am Daddy Bobbles.
Correct.
I've been here for 20 years. But
right.
Honestly, I'm half kidding. It's...
He has a robe that says Bobbles Bitch on the back. He wears it. It's so funny.
It's so funny.
I know. I love it. Wow. I love it. So, tell us some male fashion tips for the listeners.
Yeah.
You have a really good sense of style.
You do. How do these girls get their men to dress cool?
I don't.
You're very cool, Hazel.
I don't think I'm the person to ask, though. I don't think most men out there want to look like me, though. And I don't think a lot of them can look like me in the office.
Well, how can a basic guy, like the guys you see, you coach your son's soccer team, like the guys you see watching soccer, how can they just level it up? Just one notch?
So things should fit, right? Let's make sure.
Yes.
Let's make sure the stuff fits. You don't have to spend a lot of money. This shirt is from Marshall's, and I think I paid about $10 for this.
Wow.
Same thing with jeans. I can score a pair of jeans for $15-$20 at Marshall's. It only works for the men.
Okay,
don't try and look like the next guy. You know, there's this thing. I mean, here in New England, everybody, oh, it's the cat. Well, I guess I get the baseball hat because people don't have hair. So guys, have hair. You can do that.
Mm.
That will help.
Yeah.
Have hair. It also helps to be lean and muscular. So if you can do those things, clothes that fit and look good, and you can be thin with some muscle and have all your hair, you're in good shape. You've got it.
That is kind of all it takes.
All it takes.
Be in shape and have some hair.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
And just for the record, you don't color your hair.
I do not. I do not have a gray.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm only 43 though. I think.
That's true. I found a gray.
Yeah.
33.
Not one gray except for in the beard. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I have a few strays in the beard, but you know, it's an ongoing cocktail of relieving stress, and you know, there's a lot of ins, a lot of outs,
mm-hmm.
a lot of what have you. So you've got to keep a limber mind.
Right.
Of course you do.
Right.
Now, what you don't know, people, is that we actually have planned a live musical performance for you today.
We did?
Yes,
we did.
Are you going to play?
No.
She can't with those nails. Would she play?
She used to be able to play.
Not with these tails. Derek says my nails are like tails from the crypt coming up from the ground. But
Last week they did. This week they don't.
They're a little better.
Yeah, when I was a little kid, those were like the hands that came out from under the bed.
Yes.
Nightmares.
Yes.
Not married to them.
Oh my God. So, I love a musician. I just love them.
Mm.
Love a rock star. Love a musician. That's how this whole thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Really is how this whole thing happened.
Tell us how you guys... Tell me the story of how you met.
Oh, you want to hear that story?
I do.
Okay.
I know, but I want to hear it.
Okay. You want to hear that story?
I want Derek to tell.
Okay.
You are... So there was this girl in a few of my lecture hall classes at UMass Amherst.
What was I wearing at the time?
I remember you in tight jeans, and you had a bottom that just.
Lindsay's got a nice ass.
It was just a knockout thing that it's something I'd never seen before. And you're very tall. You're a little taller than me, and I think at the time you were sporting fake glasses and I think a houndstooth coat.
Sounds
or blazer
right, yeah.
Was
you're really leaning into the collegiate vibe.
Was. And of course, I think you had a heel on, in which nobody did.
No,
in
I wore
stilettos
as a college student.
And I'm looking at her, going, what? Not who is that? Yes, who is that? But I'm like, what is that? I've never seen something like that. And so I don't know. I think I like followed you around for a couple of months. Like I hid in the bushes on the side of your sword. No, I noticed you. I couldn't. I kind of couldn't take my eyes off you.
Want to hear his opening line?
Well, when did you first approach her?
Oh, gosh.
I don't remember the timeline as a girlfriend or not having a girlfriend. So I wouldn't probably have approached her if I was. Anyway.
Slight stalking.
Yeah, a little bit of stalking. Safe stalking, though. Like,
okay. Yeah, not creepy.
No, not at all.
Healthy stalking.
Yeah. Just admiring.
Healthy stalking.
Admire. Yeah, please. How come I'm the only guy that didn't get a glass?
Because they're pink. Because they're
big. Because look at this. Share. Look at your baby. There's so many wires. Yeah, I'll share.
So, when did you finally end up approaching her? Was it in class? After class? Was it at a frat party?
No.
Like, what was it?
Well, I was not a frat party guy. I ended up throwing out of once. No, I walked up to her and I said, all right, I'm gonna go up there, I'm gonna talk to her. And
I need the scene, Reno Dining Hall?
No,
we're in a lecture hall. It must have been before class started.
I think it was in Sutch Alley's class, this professor at UMass. He was the
definitely
best.
A communications class.
Communications
class. Big lecture
class.
Hall.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking before
huge.
You would have left. So, okay, so I walk up behind her. I used to sit like right behind you to the right. That's
no,
stalker.
I like it. I like
it's stalker.
Well, now that it's been 25 years, it's okay.
It's fine.
It's not creepy. No.
And I think here, all right, here's my big move. And I walked up and I was like, I'm going to tap her on the shoulder and I said, hey, which isn't sketchy at all.
No.
And I'm like,
it was literally a tap.
Like,
tap, tap,
tap. I love it.
Aren't you in that other class?
The rest is history.
I love it. That's all it takes, guys. That's all it takes.
When we had our first date, we went to a coffee house.
Did you have coffee?
We played guitar together.
What?
Well,
I showed up with my acoustic and his acoustic, and we had a coffee.
Who was
coffee house guitar date?
Who was a better guitar player at that point?
Oh, him. Him.
Did you ever write a song together?
You know what, Livin? So I will say, we've never sat down and written a song together,
mm-hmm.
but she's had so much to do with my songwriting, and not just songs that are about her, but helping me open the door to just broadening the, help me with this, what are the words I'm searching for?
Opening new doors of insight. No,
well, that's
not good.
Well,
that's not good.
Well, tell me the process.
Tapping into different parts, different ways of writing.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, so you've definitely helped me more with like imagery, giving with my words, giving something people can actually see when they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
That's been something that you've
you
really
super visual.
Oh yeah,
yeah, cool.
Oh.
You guys should write a song together.
We should.
That's the next thing. You got the headphones and the mics. I think
might as well do it.
Do it.
Okay. Okay. Deal. So, what kind of song do you want to hear, Michaela?
I don't know. I think whatever your favorite thing to play is what I want to hear. I feel like we're on an episode of Howard Stern, you know, when he interviews a musician and then they play something.
Oh my God, I love it.
I want to hear whatever you love to play.
Well, all of my stuff is sad.
Give a new
so one. I'm not gonna make anybody happy here.
That's okay. We're happy enough.
Is there anything hotter than a musician, really.
No.
Really, really, really. No.
Who's your favorite? John Mayer.
John Mayer.
Always. Always and forever. Even all my friends are just like, when are you two going to meet? Like, he's just perfect for me.
Even with that stupid guitar face he makes.
Yep, don't care.
You like the guitar face.
He's such a talented guitar player.
He's so unbelievably talented. It's that the face doesn't even matter. And he's also hilarious. He's smart. He's... I'm obsessed with him.
Who's he dating these days?
I don't know. He said he's ready for marriage, finally, at 40-something.
I don't believe that.
His dad had him at, like, 50, so he said he feels like he's on the same trajectory.
All right. Well, listen.
Find me. Michaela at bobblesandlace.com is my email.
When you hear this podcast?
I think he would really like to email me. That feels very John Mayer-ish.
What do you think he'd say? Something really prolific.
Yeah. That'd be really smart. I wouldn't know what to say. I would know how to respond.
Let me also say this, that I am on a mission. I'm on a mission to matchmake. If you have any suggestions, send it to me first. I will screen.
Yeah, you're the filter.
I will filter and see if there's a potential there, and then we can send an intro from there.
Mm. Yeah, and Lindsay can take an intro call.
She'll roll call.
Yeah, she'll do. Lindsay and Derek will do a FaceTime before our first date.
I love it so much.
Always gotta look out for my girls.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Derek, you're good at it.
You are.
You're always finding people, matchmaking people.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to matchmake.
Yeah, it is. I just did it. Felt great. Someone I used to date, too.
So, yeah. Now they're in love.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. I love
them. That was the best. It was such a, I'm like, duh, you two are perfect for each other.
That's a good person who can introduce an ex to a friend knowing they're perfect for each other, and now they're in love.
Unless you... ex wasn't the best and the friend isn't your favorite, and right?
Yeah, but I just felt like they were such a good, like, it wasn't like an ex that, like, tore me. Like, I know that, so I wouldn't, you know what I mean? If it was, like, someone I, like, was in love with, I would never
break your heart
at anybody.
No.
But where I didn't really care.
It's fine, I'm sorry.
Easy mitzvah.
Easy. I love that you use the Yiddish word.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
I've definitely collected my fair share of Yiddish words over the years.
What's your favorite one?
Oh, I don't know.
Hmm.
Well, we'll have a whole episode on Yiddish.
We'll do the whole episode in Yiddish. We'll have Nanny on. She'll be great.
Yes.
My nanny.
That'd be a good one.
It would, actually.
Nanny would be hysterical.
She's so funny. Actually, one last story before we listen to some music. The first time I met Nanny was in the Marblehead store, actually when Lindsay and Derek were trying to set me up with their hot guitarist, and she comes up to me and we're talking, and she's touching me, adjusting my outfit.
She loves to touch.
And she has a man waiting for her in the car, and I go, oh, what's his name?
Milt.
I'm like, oh, Milt, your boyfriend? She goes, he's my lover.
Yeah, she's 96.
Don't you love it? He's my lover, not my boyfriend. She's the best.
She's so funny. Can you even have a lover at 96? I wonder.
Don't Derek's grandparents still do it?
Mm-hmm.
That's word on the street?
I guess he rips the diaper off and hammers away. Yeah. I can't imagine a time where I wouldn't, where the interest would fall off for me. I just, I don't see that happening. I don't know.
Yeah, a diaper to that doesn't sound appealing for me, but.
Nope, I gotcha. I think it's very sexy to maintain your faculties.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll check back in 70 years and see how the podcast is still going. We're 100. We'll be visiting
that conversation. We'll be in the same room in
Marblehead. In 5 years.
God willing, Michaela. God willing. God willing. So what do you think you're going to play? I love that we have a musical guest.
Yes.
I am Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm. You are.
I don't know what I'm going to play right now.
You don't?
No.
What are you most proud of recent?
I love Time is a Flat Circle.
That's the one.
But
that's a great one.
I love Ready to Go.
No, I don't. No.
You don't?
No.
Time is a Flat Circle.
Okay, then. I like the bartender and the barfly too.
Barfly Wallflower School, but it's long.
I mean, here we are.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to hear a song about? Explain the two, and then Mickey will choose.
Okay, so one of them, Barfly and the Wallflower, or Barfly Wallflower, is about two people in a bar. They're not like they're not together. They don't even meet, but they're, you know, they're all in there for their own reasons, their own beautiful brokenness.
Yeah.
And you know, there's an interaction. So it's a song that's from a few different points of view, and then there's another one that deals with a lot of my close friends that have passed due to drugs, and being a father and growing up and living through that, never wanting to see anything bad happen to your children, and it's wanting better for them, and you know, some like the scary thoughts. It's all convoluted, right? There's no straight line with the song. This is what it's about.
Right,
it's more something vague, like more like a feeling.
Yeah. Thanks, Connor.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Connor Oberst is my favorite songwriter. That's still around. Then there was that Elliot Smith.
Oh, Elliot Smith.
Tops him.
What do you think? I feel like you know what you want to play.
Yeah, I think you do too. They both sound unbelievable.
Alright. Can I just wet my...
Yeah, wet the beak, as my friends say. Wet the beak.
Like a toucan.
Yeah, wet the beak.
I don't know what you guys are getting out here for. We didn't sound check or anything before.
Check.
Assuming this is fine out here.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really good. It's great.
Heart that will never beat the same again from this. this day on. Another place, another time. We've been here before. Stuck in the same way, getting pushed through a revolving door. Such a fucking waste, sinking through a bathroom floor. The key broke off in the lock. We've been here before. We've been here. I can't tell you what for.
We may have peaked though. That's why I was like leaning way back and like yelling over here.
I don't care.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
John Mayer of the North Shore.
I can't play guitar like that guy.
That was incredible.
It's awesome.
You're so good.
I know. I feel spoiled. I get to hear you play all the time.
I love to do it. It's my thing.
And I think your teeth make you sound even better.
Can
somehow.
Am I singing okay through these teeth?
You sound great.
Yep, even better. Those teeth even made you somehow even eat leveled up.
Yeah.
Leveled up.
Well, if we're looking to find Derek Rando or your band, Tenderhoof, tell us how people can find you.
I guess the easiest way is derekrando.com. Tenderhoofmusic.com is going to take you to the same place. But, you know, I'm on Instagram and Spotify and all of that, so...
When's your next gig? Where can people come see you live?
Tomorrow night, what's the date?
Old Planters.
Saturday, the 27th.
I know where I'm playing.
Saturday, July 27th.
Okay, so yeah, tomorrow the 27th, I'm at Old Planters. Then in Somerville, Union Square, I'm back at the Jungle as an opener for a gig.
All your dates are on your website.
Yeah, all the dates are always on the website. We're all over the place. Yeah.
I love it. Fantastic.
Cool.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you so much for coming.
I loved having you live musical.
Yeah. We'll have you as a guest again. Having a male energy on this podcast feels really good.
Do you know who wrote the intro to? Him and my son collectively got together and wrote the Bobbles and Lace intro music.
You guys are so cool.
For the
did you guys
such
know
a cool
that?
Family.
For the podcast.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
My son and I put it together. I had it in my head what I wanted it to sound like for you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the technology is lost on me. And our 13-year-old was like, I got it, Dad. Like,
produced it.
Yep.
It's so cool. It's so cool. Wait, let me do an applause with my button.
Wait, how come I didn't get one of those?
Oh, here. Oh, this is for you. We're so funny.
Isn't that
well, thank you so much. Closing thoughts for today are John Mayer, you know where to find us, Michaela at bobblesandlace.com.
Yeah, I don't have Instagram.
Wait, not us.
No,
it's
no,
Michaela.
Just Michaela.
Just me.
Any other applicants can go through me, lindsay@bobblesandlace.com,
yeah.
For me and Derek to pre-screen,
mm-hmm.
tenderhoofmusic.com, is that it?
And derekrando.com.
Derekrando.com.
Either one.
And we'll catch you next time for another incredible episode of Bobbles and Lace After Dark. Everyone start behaving fabulously and we'll see you soon.
Have a good weekend. Thank you for having us.
Bye, guys. Bye.